Our capacity to see, to feel into what is actually happening is supported by this moment-to-moment awareness. As our mindfulness begins to stabilize, there's a little more continuity of mindfulness. The capacity to see clearly what is actually happening grows. The power of mindfulness and wisdom is really revealed in that continuity. Revealed through that continuity, perhaps, we could say. And so supporting the continuity of our mindfulness really helpful. We cultivate this in our sitting practice. Being on retreat, really, our job, our kind of main purpose. We have these yogi jobs and things we have to do, but the main purpose for being here is to cultivate this mindfulness moment to moment in the sitting, in the walking, in the in-between times. You could explore a little bit as a way to support the continuity, as a way to support this cultivation of moment-to-moment mindfulness throughout the day. You could choose or pick a stretch of the day between meals, perhaps a sit, walk, sit. And have the intention, or, you know, set the kind of intention to have that be a stretch of practice, rather than thinking about the sit as one practice period, the walk as one practice period, the sit as a practice period. To think of all of those together as a practice period. And what's the whole thing like? What's the entire thing like? And so what is the shift? What happens in the shift from sitting to walking? How does that happen? The bell rings. There's experience that happens as the bell rings. Maybe relief. Maybe it's just sound. There's often a recognition at that point. So there's the sound, strikes the ear. There's a recognition bell. Maybe pleasant, maybe unpleasant. Could be unpleasant if there was some attachment to the sitting. It interrupted my sitting. Maybe pleasant. If the body is aching, conditions affect the shaping of that experience of pleasant, unpleasant. And there's a recognition that it is a bell. Mental formations, what it means, the end of the sitting. All of that's happening in a split second. So those are happenings that can be seen. What happens when the bell rings? Perhaps an intention arises to do the walking. And what happens then? There's the choice, a decision arises to get up. Standing follows. There's walking that happens. Maybe a trip to the bathroom. All of it. There's happenings propelling us into this process. Be curious about the happenings of life, the simple happenings that shift us from sitting to walking with the sound of a bell. Curiosity. There doesn't need to be a division between practice periods. It's all one process unfolding, just tumbling on a process unfolding that can be seen. So that's one kind of exploration to support a cultivation of continuity, to strengthen extend our mindfulness into activities beyond the formal sitting and walking practices. And then I'd also like to encourage a kind of a curiosity. There's that kind of intention to extend the mindfulness for a period of time. And we can, one of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya, says, you know, when you're at the monastery, your job is to be mindful from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. Continuity all day long. That is a wonderful aspiration. And so holding the intention there, holding the aspiration, maybe aspiration's a good word there rather than intention. Sometimes we can get tight around, I'm going to do this. It's unlikely that you'll be able to do that for the whole day. But what can be interesting is to get curious about where the mindfulness gets lost as you go through your day. What are the rabbit holes that mindfulness goes down? Maybe it happens when you go into your room and close your door. Maybe it happens when you step into the dining hall and see the food. Maybe it happens for a few minutes when you transition from being in the building to being outside the building. But you notice there's a little gap there. And then you find yourself at a walking spot, and then you're mindful again. It's like, wow, I know I was mindful as I left the building. And here I am again, and I didn't really see. I mean, I can remember what happened. I can remember that I walked down the steps and walked across the parking lot, but I do not remember. I was not mindful in that time. So kind of recognizing these mindfulness holes, these areas, these gaps, these places where we lose mindfulness through the day. Take an inventory. Where do you tend to lose mindfulness? And then I like to suggest, once you've kind of got a sense of the places, and some of them are places of activity in the kitchen, in the dining hall, when you walk out the door, sometimes they're more mind states, like we tend to get lost in particular flavors of mind states like frustration or anger or boredom or something like that. So, you know, kind of take inventory about what are the places you tend to lose mindfulness. And then when you, as you go through the day, as you see yourself potentially headed to one of those activities, or you begin to taste the flavor of a mind state that you know you habitually get lost in, maybe there can be just some curiosity. What happens here? What happens as I walk out the door? Rather than trying to force yourself to stay mindful, to carry mindfulness there, see if curiosity can support the mindfulness to watch. What is it that tends to catch the mind in that situation? Often it's a perception, some perception that's not noticed. Walk into the dining hall. There's the perception of the table, the food. If that's not clearly seen, seeing, the mind can immediately leap on that and start thinking about what kind of food is it? Which one do I really want? Is there going to be enough of that? All of those thoughts that tumble on from the perception. So what is it that catches the mind? So curiosity can be a really great support for this continuity, especially in these in-between times, in the times between formal practice sessions, in your yogi jobs, in your work meditations, when you're taking care of your body, when you're having a meal, all of those times, curiosity about what's happening there.